What if you didn't need to be 100% ready to be 100% compelling to investors? In this special three-part panel series, I was invited to join powerhouse women in venture to talk about how the future of fundraising, from funding strategies to team building that actually scale. Whether you are pitching next week or hiring next quarter, this isn't about perfection. It's about persuasion, positioning, and people. Let's get into what makes founder unforgettable in the rooms that matter.
Welcome to Provider's Edge, the podcast that helps healthcare entrepreneurs and innovators break down barriers and control their business, life, and future with valuable action steps. With me, your host, Sabrina Rombach, a recovered clinician and a business deal catalyst. Let's rewrite the rules and create a positive social impact while increasing your profitability.
Before we dive into today's expert conversation, I want to pause for a minute and talk directly to the innovators in the room, especially if you're preparing for a raise or aim to land a pivotal partnership this year. Your pitch isn't just a story, it's a strategy. And if you're still guessing what investors or decision makers want to hear, you're already behind. That's exactly why we built Pitch to Yes. We don't just critique your pitch. We co-create it with you. You will walk away with a persuasion scorecard and a rewritten pitch that turns attention into action. Apply PitchToYes.com. Now let's dive into today's conversation.
So without further ado, we're going to kind of jump into what is this panel all about? And I'm very honored to have the women, these women I look up to. We have an advisor, a DFX advisor who is on the panel today. She's incredible with go-to-market strategies, Akita. What we're going to be going through is four key themes. So investor readiness, storytelling, building rapport, and the founder journey. I think, you know, if you're a female founder on this call, sometimes we get put in rooms and we're pitching ourselves to men. And so I want to go through that founder journey and how these women have paved the way for us and what they've learned along their own journey. So this panel brings together visionary women who built companies, backed bold ideas, and have built incredible ecosystems. And I would love to kick it off with an introduction from Alice Lau, who is the founder and CEO of AL Advisory. Alice.
Hello, Ella. Hello, everyone. Lovely to be here. Just a little bit of short introduction. I'm the founder and CEO of AL Advisory, as Ella just spoken, where I have the privilege really to work with over 300 different brands globally. And I'm also chief executive in artificial intelligence, construction tech, broad advisor on Web3, real estate development, and hospitality. And last but not least, I'm also the author of the book called Startup from Zero to Exit, where I wrote about a practical guidebook for founders, operators to navigate a complexity journey of building, scaling, and exiting a company. So happy to be here and look forward to today's discussion.
Alice is based out of Dubai had a lot of global experience. So if there's anyone that is in Dubai, I definitely recommend reaching out to Alice. Thank you for being here today.
And thank you, Ella.
Jennifer Geronimo, who is the CEO of Gangels. And we got to spend a lot of time together during New York Tech Week. How are you, Jennifer?
I am doing great. And thank you so much for having me. So super excited to be here and have this discussion. I think it's important. A little bit about me. I actually spent the better part of my career in the public market, so banking. So I don't like, you know, about 20 plus years. I don't like to age myself. But the last 19 being at JP Morgan before I joined Gangels. Why I joined Gangels and a little bit about us is we're on a mission to show the world that accessibility and representation in venture capital leads to positive returns. And how we do that is we invest at scale. So we have deployed $996 million across 2,700 companies. We're about to hit a billion, I would hope, in July. So we invest at scale with the best. So we never lead around. We co-invest alongside like top VCs. So I've done over 40 deals with Sequoia. I've done over 80 deals with Greycroft. General Catalyst will tell you where they're, number one co-investor through a community that measurably impacts diversity. And what that means is 65% of my members are diverse, 50% of my dollars are diverse. And so what Gangels is providing our, you know, largely diverse membership is access to really great deal flow. I would say that's our number one sweet spot is I think we're probably the best deal flow that an angel investor can get. And then the second, we're accessible. So to invest in one of my SPVs, like directly, you know, is, you know, $1,000 minimum. So, you know, when you think about diverse folks, they weren't necessarily in this industry 10 years ago. And when they were, it was more angel rounds. And when you think about that, that they're likely not playing with house money. And so, you know, they may have a limited budget, but because venture is very much a numbers game, Gangels allows somebody to take as little as a $25,000 budget, invest in 25 companies, because we know that, you know, venture is like, we can expect 5% to hit, maybe 5% to be of our investments to be flat, a little up, a little down, and then the rest probably will fall. And so, you know, it's really important to think about volume and, you know, being able to build a portfolio. And that's what Gangels provides. And then we also have just a phenomenal community of 5,000 members. We have venture partners across, you know, the entire venture ecosystem. And we hold over 70 in-person events and over 100 virtual events. So that's just a little bit about us.
I love it. Jennifer also has a program called WAVE for women who are wanting to learn more about venture. So thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate you being on the call. Next up, we have Archita Fritz, who is a growth strategist at Ready, Set, Bold and a board member for several companies, including DFX. It's the afternoon in Europe. How are you, Archita?
Hey, Allah. And look at that. You said my name so well. You didn't have to stress about it at all. I'm doing well. I'm so glad to be here. I'm in Dusseldorf, Germany for folks on the call. Just loved hearing what Jennifer and Alice had to share. I spent over two decades in med device and med tech for a Fortune 500 company across engineering, quality, and a lot of build and buy decisions and marketing. And so 3 years ago, I stepped into the private equity space. And the VC space is a huge change and shift. I was on the other side of, you know, making deals and buying companies. And now I was on the other side of like, hey, how do we get the company ready to be able to, you know, go to PE? And so my focus is working with founders to get ready for a PE exit and then following a private equity acquisition in the first 18 months or in the 5 to 7 year cliff. I work with CEOs and founders from a go-to-market standpoint to get their sales motions in order. I do sit on a few different boards, and I really am very focused on helping raise the voice, help drive fundraising for female-founded startups, scale-ups, and CEOs. I also have a podcast, Embracing Only, which is all focused on, you know, the first, the few, the only, and how we all have an opportunity to thrive in spite of all. So that's me.
Yes. And you know what I loved is like when we were getting to know each other, you were like, you know, I really want to make sure that, you know, you don't burn out. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. I feel like one of the things that I learned from my first exit is that burnout is a real thing. And I think us as females that try to do it all, everyone's like nodding their head is like, we have to make sure to take care of ourselves first. And I'm really excited to dive into that further on today's panel. Last but not least, we have Sabrina Runback, who is a clinician and also a venture partner at Pulse Point Path. And we've gotten to know each other over the last couple of months, and we're actually co-hosting a health tech pitch tank together for female founders.
I was recently invited to speak on the Funding for Women's panel alongside with other incredible female investors, venture partners, and operators. We pull back the curtain on what really drives successful fundraising. Not just pitch decks, but decisions that attracts the right capital. This is not your typical pitch panel. It's part of a three-part series where we unpack the new era of direct investment, where funding, intentional storytelling, and building founder ecosystem are changing how deals get done. This is part one, and in the next 2 weeks, we'll show you part two and three. The deeper dive into real investor conversation and the founder framework that actually close deals. Let's dive into what that looks like in the room.
Sabrina, how are you today?
Hello, Ella. I'm so great to be on the panel with all the amazing powerhouse of women here. I'm the co-founder of Pulse Point Pass. We are a 12C advisor board empowering health tech founder to really scale with precision. I'm also a venture partner at MedStart Capital, backing mission-driven startups in the space of C to Series A and beyond. Really, what I stepped into building Pulse Point Pass is that we realize everyone has troubles when it comes to what I want. And then when they are clarifying what their goals and want, they're actually missing on the diagnostic of the reason for stalling. That's because we're so used to thinking problems in these one or two dimensional way. And we are wanting to take into that multidimensional of operation, psychology, energetic, strategy, relationship into who we are for viable, sustainable, and scalability. And my background is cardiothoracic surgery. I still practice a little bit because I feel like that's the reality of what I got into medicine, is those precision of resources. But at the same time, a lot of moments, we feel like we're doing surgery with plastic knives instead of scalpels. Many resources are too many resources out there. People start to get overwhelmed when you start talking about burnout. How do you decipher what is it, the exact part? How do you then fix things as you go and have the trust and ability to have the right ecosystem to support you? So I think that's when we start looking at that five-dimensional way of many people are building on that, what do we say, a nexus core, right? That business ecosystem. What we are missing is we start losing our personal ecosystem. We start forgetting that there is a family ecosystem, their dreams of what they want to do. And even though we are building an empire to support them, but if there's a disconnect, what are we actually doing? And then the two more, it's very skillful for all of us that people do pay attention is your mentor ecosystem, right? How do you grow and get the right advices and not constantly asking for help, but then get overwhelmed on what to do, right? Take that right action for. And then lastly is the partnership ecosystem. That passive referral doesn't work. How do you really truly create those collaborative win-win, right? Ella and I were talking about our pitch event is because we're not just putting people on stage. Oh, let's give you some visibility. Go for it. We want to be very intentional about preparing, having the right persuasive language. And that's when we start seeing our portfolio company as partners, as how do we invest to win together? And that's where I bring in my background from public health, neuroscience, the creative side of music and dance, what I used to do before, and go into this scaling healthcare innovation that are not always for funding. Because at the end of the day, we need funding to grow. Right? So if we can really focusing on the right growth strategy, then it's not always chasing funding, then put our mindset in that I'm not enough. I don't have enough to even do what I do. And it's really about taking the founders to get ready to lead from every layer.
Thank you, Sabrina. I know that it's been an early morning for you, for I appreciate you jumping in. Jennifer, you see many deals come across your desk daily. How has the bar for investor readiness shifted over the past few years?
Okay, so, you know, let's just go through a little history, right? So when we were thinking about between like 2018, 2019, right, we were seeing companies raise, they go from seed to Series A in around 12 to 18 months, right? And we've since seen that now really get extended, right? So now folks are not doing that next round for another 18 to 24 months, sometimes even longer. Now, some of the reason for that is, and then if another little historic, you know, in 2021, venture was hot. And valuations were high. And even back at Gangels, portfolio companies could actually tell us, listen, I don't want you to say our name until people actually tell you they're highly interested. And so we could just send out some high level information to our members. And they're like, yep, interested, interested. And so like people were throwing money at venture. You know, since then, I think we've learned there was the venture downturn in, you know, the second half of 2022 that's gone all the way through to 2023. And investors are starting to notice a couple of things. 2021, they were throwing a little too much money too fast at some of these companies and the valuations were too high. And so now they're being a lot more thoughtful. So I would say we've extended those timetables, which is now holding up on people's liquidity. You know, we always said 7 to 10 years. That now, you know, liquidity could take even a little bit longer, right, in the venture landscape. So I think you see people, because of the economic downturns, geopolitical, because of how long they're tying up their money, because you're hearing a lot more no's than you were hearing back in 2021.
Real quick, if you're a healthcare founder building in women's health, mental health, digital health, age tech, biotech, diagnostics, or longevity, we built Capital Engine for you. We don't just get you in the room, we make sure you're ready to own it. Our team vets the right investors and potential C-suite operators to help you validate products, run pilot trials, or scale your next revenue partner. Some founders get so much investor interest, they've asked us to slow it down. And whether it takes 2 months or 2 years, we stay with you until your raise is closed with expert advisors who've built and exited healthcare companies themselves. Apply now at Capital Engine VC and let's get to work. All right, let's get back to the second half of our show.
I totally agree. The landscape has changed so much in the last few years. And Alice, I'm really curious, what signals do investors look for before the traction and the revenue is present that you've been seeing?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a very, very crucial question nowadays. And from my experience, also my journey supporting so many different businesses across industry, I think before there's a revenue or even solid traction, investors nowadays are really looking at a mix of qualitative and also quantitative signals. So firstly, they want to see there's a strong founder and market fit, you know, such as, is there the right team to solve this specific problem? Can the founders clearly articulate the pain point, the market size, or where their solution is uniquely positioned to win, right? And then it comes early validation. This doesn't have to mean revenue just yet. It could be pre-revenue, but it does need to show that the market is paying attention. This could look like a waiting list of early adopters, a strong engagement from a landing page campaign, an MOU from a potential enterprise partner, or a pilot project that's already underway. So even a robust inbound interest on LinkedIn posts or a newsletter sign up can demonstrate the pull. So I feel these signals really help to de-risk that important question, right? Like, is anyone actually going to buy this new solution? And the founding team itself is also a huge factor because investors are, at the end of the day, betting on the people. So they are really looking for a domain expertise, a clarity for execution, and ability to navigate that uncertainty in today's market. And also, I feel finally, there needs to be a credible data-backed roadmap. And because investors want to see how you are planning to convert that early interest into actual revenue. So let's say if your pilot project are running, you know, what's the plan for turning those into contracts, right? If your marketing is actually having great traction and have great lending, what is the next step in the funnel to make sure those marketing leads can be converted? What's your SOP? So even pre-revenue, I think it's about showing evidence that the market wants what you're building and that your team actually has the insight and structure to turn that, I would say, early traction into a real business. That's probably what I feel in my experience.
Yeah, I love that. And I so agree. I think like proving your model and making sure that the traction is really there before you go out and take investors' money. I'm really proud of that with DFX. We made sure before, you know, we started getting an engineering team and the UX UI, we had a model that was scalable and that we're so solving a real problem and that people were really being able to see the value from day one without us spending a lot of money on building out our product yet. So I totally agree. And I really appreciate that, Alice. Sabrina, what common fundraising myths do you see women continually holding themselves back with? I'm curious.
Yeah, I definitely see the most common thing is I needed to be more prepared. I needed to have all these people. I need to have my technology to be the best. Look at all my clinical studies and then I can get funded. People are falsely believe that preparedness means they're ready. Instead, you see plenty of time that there are founders who are saying prepared, right? Ready, but they're actually 100% compelling. So what most people, especially when they come from a scientific and medical background, were so trained on data points and numerical things. Instead, what we're missing is that emotional connection. Right. What I always say, if you don't have a social proof, if you don't have that ecosystem that support you, tap into what Alice said. A lot of founders nowadays, early stage, they are getting on social. They're getting all these patients going into their posts to say, I want this. How come my doctor don't have this? That is a proof that there is actually a market for it. And therefore, they know how to get compelling messages that convert. So something that we do for our pitch rewrite is what are the 8 persuasion that in psychological term that you have to write in everything, in how you speak, how you write your post, how you write even your deck. And there are certain format that need to be in, but if you don't have the psychological connection with people, then you're missing a whole lot of what people see as value. Even some investors who are supporting these companies and come to me and would still the same thing. I would say why people wanted to get this product instead of other alternatives, right? And they would always say, because we're the best, nobody can do what we can do. Where we have this data point and study, and they're missing the mark of actually people don't care about your process. What people care about is the result that you're bringing. That might be cheaper, might be faster, might be easier, might cost less headache, less work. And that's what we're seeing is we have to stop feeling like we're not ready. We needed to start sharing the story. Get specific storyline in place. And sometimes I would say you need a top 3 story. The ways that you talk to your investors is not going to be the same as your enterprise buyers and not the same as the end users who are a physician or a patient. You need to know how to switch things up and then what to expand and what to shorten. And then you become more agile, more pleasing to the people that being connected. So I love to say this, people need to stop under asking and over explaining.
What we often overlook isn't the business ecosystem, it's the personal one. I share how scaling sustainably isn't just about traction and funding, but about building in 5 dimensions: operations, mindset, energy, relationship, and strategy. Too many founders try to operate like surgeons with plastic knives, lacking the precision tools or clarity to move forward. We dove into how intentional collaboration, clear messaging, and restoring our internal ecosystem are key to become investor ready without chasing validations. Because the real power is leading from every layer of who we are. Now, I want to hear from you before we move to the rest of this episode. Tell us in a comment below or post on LinkedIn and make sure to tag me, Sabrina Roundback. Founders, tell me what's one way you build emotional resonance into your pitch beyond the data. In this roundtable, I sat down with Alice Liao from AL Advisory, Jennifer Geronimo from Gengos, and Arkita Fraze from Ready, Set, Bold, and myself in the seat of Health Board Advisor and Postpoint Pass co-founder to break down what investor readiness really means, especially for female founders in healthcare innovation and biotech space. We talked about traction, strategic storytelling, and how to stop holding back just because everything isn't perfect. This wasn't about theory. It was about how women are actively raising, scaling, and reclaiming their personal ecosystem along the way. Here are the summary of the top things we learned today. And next 2 weeks, we have the second and third part from this roundtable discussion. So make sure you stay tuned for the next two episodes. Now, here's our quick summary. Number one, investor readiness is not about perfection. It's about clarity and conviction. Many female founders mistakenly wait until their product is quote unquote perfect before they would try to share their true innovative impact. Or they're waiting for their data collection is exhausted. What investors really look for is a compelling story that emotionally resonates, because then they can tell if you actually have spoke to enough of your ideal client to find out what are the exact words they are using for you to convince them to purchase your product and services, and be very clear in outlining these values. Stop talking about your process is the best, or your molecular, your system is the best. No one cares about the how. They care about the results you're bringing. You don't need to be 100% ready. You need to be 100% compelling. Number two, burnout is real, and it starts when we overextend our internal ecosystem. Founders often talk about the business ecosystem, but what about your personal ecosystem? Your mentors, partners, family, even your inner sense of clarity, these are what sustain you during high growth phases. Number three, pre-revenue traction can be your strongest proof of market pull. Investors don't just look for revenue. As Alex pointed out, we want to see signals of demand. Waitlist, pilots, letter intent, community buzz, it's all about proof of desire, not just proof of income. Number four, stop over-explaining and start asking for what you want. Women founders especially fall into the trap of justifying themselves in meetings, overloading investors with data, and under-delivering on clear asks. Clarity beats complexity. Number five, storytelling must be audience-specific. What convinces an investor is not the same as what excites a hospital executive or a patient. Founders must have their top three stories ready, tailored for different sectors of investors or enterprise buyers and end-user conversations. Number six, community plus intentional pitch strategy equals strategic funding. Visibility matters, but intentional preparation before pitching event, like the one myself and Ella co-hosted for Women in Health Tech Pitch Tank, was what led to the capital and partnership. If you missed those episodes from the past 2 weeks, go back and watch them. We feature 6 amazing women-led companies, and a lot of them were in the wellness and women's health space. We know passive exposure doesn't win funding. Strategic storytelling does. Have you ever waited to pitch because you thought you weren't ready? What happened when you did pitch anyway? Tell us in a comment below wherever you're watching or listening this, or drop me a message on LinkedIn. I would love to have a conversation with you.
Thank you for tuning in to Provider's Edge podcast. We hope you enjoy our latest episode and found the insights and tips helpful. We'd love to hear your feedback on the show and learn what topics you'd like us to cover in the future. So please take a moment to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and let us know what you think. Your feedback is essential to help us improve the show and provide you with the content you need to take your healthcare business to the next level. Thank you for your support, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.